Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey guys, we are here at the Black Mirror After Show. We're talking kidnapping and social media, plus much more, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey! Welcome to the Black Mirror After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking Season 5, Episode 2, Smithereens, which I haven't had to say that word in so long. I was like, I'm Adrienne Snow. If the rest of the panel wants to go ahead and introduce themselves.
What's up, party people? I am Erica Edwards.
Hello, everybody. I'm Angelica Trey.
Hey, guys. I'm Paris Rose.
All right. So, let's just get right into it. But before we do, let me just remind you that it's going to be a jam-packed episode. So stay tuned for our special segment, along with our top three, and potentially our news. All right. First thoughts.
My initial thoughts of Smithereens, I thought it was... Again, I think I see the direction they're going with this season. It's a lot more of just using technology as a way to crack open, you know, human issues. Mm-hmm. So that was, I think, the big overriding kind of feeling I got towards the end of this. And we can talk about that a little bit more, but I definitely had some feelings here. Okay.
I was a bit more engaged with Smithereens. I guess we'll talk about that first. Mm-hmm. But I still felt underwhelmed in general. I just didn't feel like this entire season, it didn't give me the oomph that Black Mirror usually does. Mm-hmm. I feel normally like I'm like, I need to breathe. I need to sit down and think about this concept that they just put in my face. But this season, I was like, right. Yeah, just it was what it was.
Yeah. So, yeah. I actually liked this episode. I think I saw online where they were doing interviews and they were like, they kind of, I guess after, especially for me, Lord, after Bandersnatch, I did need a break. So I feel like some of these episodes have been more story driven, clearly, than technology driven. Mm-hmm. And specifically, since this one took place in 2018, it's like, you know. But that being said, I did think it was a good story.
Yeah.
You know, so I enjoy this story. I thought, you know, the actors did a great job all the way around. So, so I liked it. It wasn't what I usually would expect from Black Mirror, but I still found it enjoyable.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I still thought the pacing was kind of slow for my taste. And having it be set in London 2018, I was like, oh, okay, just... It's not going to be like, you know, implants in your ear or your neck or whatever. So don't expect that. But at the same time, I think they took a long time to get to, like, what was the point of the story? Why is he doing this? And I just would have appreciated that kind of being clarified maybe a little bit sooner. So,
I agree with you, although, I don't know, it did add some sort of, I think it sort of added something as well. Because I was like, oh, okay, he's kidding, like, what is it? Mm-hmm. And so at the end, I was like, oh, wow, okay, you know. And, and it was interesting, I think, too, for me also, like, that he just wanted to be hurt. Like, yeah. I was like, well, what is it you're really, you know, what do you expect him to do? Like, I really was thinking it was going to be something different. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe, you know, Billy Bauer had done something, like, evil to him through the... Like, there were so many things going through your mind. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, okay. So, a little bit earlier, I can agree with that. But then I also thought sort of the guessing game was interesting.
Yeah, I think the guessing game was interesting. I just think that I started to kind of figure out what it was going to be. Because it was taking too long to get to it. I was like, okay, well, his wife's dead, an accident, fiance, his mom's dead, Oh, okay. He probably was texting and driving.
Really?
So he's texting and driving, and he's the reason why they got into the accident. It's not really drunk driving. Like, it just kind of, because...
You realize, guess I'm slow. I did not connect the dots until the very end and when they told us.
Yeah.
And I actually liked the slowness about them revealing really why he's doing this, why he wants to speak to Billy Bauer. I think it really made it... realistic and like a human thing as opposed to he wants money or something wild. I just think it was kind of refreshing to know he just wanted his story told, kind of like a warning to Billy Bauer. It was funny having Topher Grace. I just expected his character to be that when I saw Billy Bauer was Topher Grace. I'm like, okay, so don't take this character too seriously.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, Topher. We just still don't take you that seriously 20 years later. Shouldn't have done Spider-Man 3. I think you could have.
I think you could have survived. Oh, yeah. Spider-Man. That did it.
And this is going to come back to bite me in the butt one day. Anyways, so.
It's okay. You're great, Topher. We love you.
Yes, we do.
No comment. yeah, you're okay. You're fine.
I love you. I wrote a script just for you.
Okay.
Pandering, again. So we love that here. Let's go into just to start off the top where, so I knew from jump that he was probably trying to kidnap somebody from the first passenger when he was like, do you work for Smithereens? And he made a face. Just let's talk about that whole introduction into the world where we realize we're in present day. He's an Uber Lyft driver or whatever it was called for the convenience of this, for legal issues. And then... pretty much from there, we're kind of on the same, the same road with him, where basically he doesn't get the first person, he gets the second person, and then, I don't know. So how did you feel in terms of the introduction to the episode of understanding what world we were entering?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who has worked in tech previously, and I've lived up in, Silicon Valley area, it definitely felt very similar to that, and it had that vibe. So I did believe it was kind of present day, but it's just branching off of, current issues that we're dealing with, which is, it's still sci-fi, but a lot of science fiction, we tend to exaggerate things a little bit further. With this, it was, social media addiction, the episode, the warning. And I mean, I thought the hierarchy of the tech company was extremely believable. And the CEO representation was pretty believable as well because, we all have those moments where we make them godlike and then we're like, oh,
they're a dork.
It's just a guy.
Yeah.
It's just a guy.
Yeah, just a little nerdy guy who's... he's got money and goes to the gym.
He doesn't know what he needs to do, too, and he's got this monster that's grown out of control,
Yeah, yeah. But in terms of just... when we're introduced to Chris,
right,
and we're kind of seeing that he has some type of ulterior motive, what did you think it was going to be?
I didn't know it was going to be kidnapping, but I knew something was up. I know the actor from something else. He was also...
he was in Sherlock, Andrew Scott.
Yes,
and,
yes, he was.
Spectre. With James Bond.
Yes, and I saw both of those. Anyway, so I kind of expected his character to be peculiar. Also, just from that first passenger didn't work at Smithereens, and he was like, he made that face. I was like, so what does he want to do? But I didn't think it was going to be kidnapping. Okay. However, I did like how they introduced the passengers and introduced him. I thought it was, it was exciting to me.
Yep. Yeah, they definitely had that level of mystery with his character a bit, because he was doing that thing where he's clearly faking, pleasantries with people, and then he would have that very ominous expression on his face, and then we get those, I got some Fight Club vibes, when he was at the, what's it called, the meetings, the grief meetings, and I wasn't sure, sort of what his motive was with these as well, so I was essentially going along with the ride, for the ride, no pun intended here. And I thought Andrew Scott did a good job with this part. It just had to intensify super hard towards the end. So, yeah.
Erica?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I definitely, I think from the first passenger, I assumed he was going to kidnap and kill the person. So, from the beginning, really. So, but... that's just how I think. But yeah, I thought that.
The trailers didn't help. Too.
Yeah, not even black, because I don't even see the trailers, but just I don't know. I watch a lot of murder, you get in a car with someone, you know, and just mm-hmm. the whole thing with Uber drivers and stuff. So I definitely thought he was going to kill the person.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when it was like, whoa, she got saved. She worked for somebody else. So that was, you know, that first person I was like, okay, here we go. Okay. So yeah, I definitely thought that.
I'm a little biased. I think I scrubbed through the trailers like back and forth when they announced the season 5 trailers. Oh, I was okay. like going like shot for shot through the video. Oh, cool. And I was trying to piece together what I thought each one was. I think my predictions are somewhere
you had a
buried
super nerd
in Twitter.
Moment.
Yeah. I was like, okay, this is what this one is. And I was like connecting it. This doll's got a purple wig on, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah, I didn't watch any of the trailers. Yeah, me either. I was like, I just want to be surprised.
I mean, this one was the most mysterious. Smithereens, to be fair. It was the most vague in there. And it, I mean, turns out
it was
in terms
vague.
Of season 5, yeah, it was the most vague episode too.
So now, if you do that with the trailer, were you one of those people that like stopped and looked at the like the tweets or the Smithers
I
or
did.
Whatever you call
I
them?
I read all of the different texts that they had flashing across the screen. Oh, okay. I looked at all the different shots and tried to see if I could like zoom in and read the text, you know, like when Topher Grace was he did the God mode thing that was in the trailer. What else did I try to do? I tried to do a lot of different stuff and I don't know. It's fun for me. So it's like,
did you get anything?
You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy, but it was fun. I swear.
Well, that's so cool. Not actually, because I watched a whole video on how they did that through the whole episode. Yeah. And like all of those tweets were about other episodes and about the architect and stuff. Yeah. And then a lot of the things in there were people that actually work on the show. Like it actually is really interesting if you take the time to like do it.
We're going to talk a little bit about that in the top three.
The only thing that threw me off.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that threw me off was it Smithereens. It looked clearly like almost like the Facebook campus or a Google campus. Yeah. I was like, okay, social media, but the name of the company really threw me off. I was like, Smithereens, because usually they kind of nod towards what
something.
It's going to be about. I mean, maybe Twitter is debatably a little confusing. If some alien came in and saw that randomly, they'd be like, what is that?
What does this mean? Let me answer.
But Facebook, okay, you know, I understand that.
Hey, see, Smithereens. Blows your mind away.
Exactly. I was like, blowing up things?
Yeah. You were really trying to connect the dots there. I love that.
Maybe trying a little too hard. It was a little simpler than that.
Yeah.
I was going to try and see if I could pull up the actual definition of smithereens outside of it just being something blown to smithereens. But
to bits, yeah.
My phone is not doing anything. So we get to, we finally, you know, just outside of figuring out his intention. I did also think it was a very interesting shot of him when he's in the coffee shop and all he can hear is like the sound of people checking their phones and the clicking and the, you know, swiping and whatever we do whenever we're on our phones and how it was driving him crazy. I was like, yeah, we do that a lot.
Who
just
else?
Always on the phone.
Who else checked their phone during that scene?
Oh, I don't think I did. But I felt immense guilt during the whole episode. I'm like, I would have been kidnapped because I probably would have been in my phone and been that jerk that like barely says hi. No, I say hi. At least say hi.
Oh, I'm in conversations with my Lyft drivers.
It depends.
I do too. And then not, you know, although this could have been the news, but like ever since that girl got murdered getting into the wrong Uber, like I am so like if I'm in the Uber, I'm looking at where the person is driving. If I'm looking at anything, because I'm like, okay, is he going the right route? Why is he going? Why is this? You know, am I in the right car? Like ever since then, I feel like
License plate. Just look at the license plate and see if it's verified with it. Because you know, obviously, if all of their information is in Uber, it's not going to. You know, they're going to have that info and they can track that person.
But well, yeah, but very much like the guy in this episode, once he starts going a different route and you're like, wait a minute, where are you going? And then that's how you end up in a field.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I just
always in a field being held hostage.
Yes.
From Billy Bauer.
Or buried in a hole if you're not as nice as Chris.
You know, I've driven for Lyft, and it's even when you're on the other side of people getting in your car, I always will say the name and double check if they don't have a picture. And because you're interacting with a stranger, and we, you know, for the most part, tend to be decent to strangers, but sometimes we're not.
Yeah.
But yes, you should always verify as you open the door, be like, hi, for Adrian.
Now you have to be like, okay, who are you here for? And stand there and wait for them to say your name. And hope that it's right.
Yeah. And I also, as I'm getting in the car, look at their phone. Because you can see your profile. I'm teaching you all the guys the tricks. You can see your profile picture and your name on their phone as they hit accept.
Yeah.
In any case, guys, you know, you should drive yourself and take public transit. It's the best way to go.
Indeed.
But
before we go on any longer, I've got to say, guys, I have to thank you for allowing us to be the ESPN of TV talk, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have so much to offer. Reality shows, dramas, comedies. We offer it all. And you guys are the best. So if you are watching on YouTube right now, give us that thumbs up and 5 stars if you're listening on Spotify and iTunes. We would appreciate it. Thank you for helping us grow. Thank you for helping us continue to grow. And, and make sure to leave your comments and thoughts. We want to know how you feel. I definitely want to know how you guys feel about this season. Definitely.
Yeah, it's an interesting
Please
season.
Please do, yes.
Yes, thank you guys so much. And thank you, Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have anything from the chat before we hop into the intern?
So we've just... As far as chat's going, everyone's sort of sharing their opinions. Some people thought that Striking Vipers was a little more vague of an episode.
I think it's just pacing, pretty ominous.
I think the pacing... Well, which episode? So I know this one... Was this the 70-minute episode?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe it.
Were they all 70 minutes?
No.
Okay.
No, I think this one was 70 minutes.
So it's interesting
Striking
to see.
Striking Vipers is 1 minute, 1 minute, or 1 hour, 1 minute.
Okay.
Actually, so, I think the next one, Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2 might have been the longer one.
Okay. Yeah, that one felt like a full-length movie.
It did. It felt longer.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not saying one.
But I could see where it's a little ominous, as we were talking about with Striking Vipers, you know, some of those stares and things like that being a little vague. But this episode, I don't know. I think it's a lot more vagueness. I think chat is just mostly chatting with each other. We appreciate that,
you
guys.
Do that, yes.
Wait, are y'all hooking up in
Meet
the chat?
Meet people in chat.
Chat is showing
Take it
someone
back
love.
Down in the chat.
Yes.
Take it back to 1998, you guys. All right, so we move on to Jaden, who we realize later is an intern, a very sharply dressed intern.
Yes.
I was very much here for Chris's rant about millennials and how we're all look too young at what we do to have, like, he's like, I can't tell who's in charge.
That was hilarious.
I loved it.
That's
I can't
true.
Tell you all look so young. I can't tell hierarchy or something like that. He said it. It was very, was like, very funny. And I was like, kind of true.
So true.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
Everyone dresses like, you can tell usually because the ones who actually have power are usually in a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
And the ones who are trying to impress are usually overly dressed.
Right.
Like
right.
It's reversed.
Mm-hmm. And
that's why he was wearing the suit. He's like, it's my first week. I'm an intern.
Exactly.
That's
why. They showed that very well in that. It was like, but you're wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And it was great. Yeah. It was like a great sort of character moment, you know, where you realize who Christopher is and who the intern is.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on his name,
Jaden.
But he was amazing. Jaden.
Yeah.
And, just seeing how this guy may be a little more old-fashioned, right, Christopher?
Yeah, he's older.
Yeah.
Like, it makes, you know, there's a schism that's like a rather large schism, I think, sometimes between even older millennials and younger millennials. Because older millennials tend to remember life before internet, so we tend to kind of Gen X about things and behave in that way. And even I'm not an older millennial, I'm like right in the middle. So I can definitely see that we're so different now, you know, compared to world before social media.
Exactly. And even then, I think they showed it well because they said that he did previously work in tech, right? Christopher, he worked, in, I believe, engineering or IT, something along those lines. So it was a good addition to showing how far removed he's been from it and how far he's been or how long he's been stewing upon, you know, this tragedy.
Yeah, it's been, well, officially 18 months after his mom died, where he kind of like dropped
when
off.
Did he
but she died his fiance died 3 years ago,
right? Okay. I was like, wait, what? This was 18 months?
Yeah.
I thought I remember differently. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So she was 3 years, the mom was 18 months, because that's when I guess that's when he, like, went off social media and started plotting.
Plotting, yes.
Plotting to have an in-depth conversation. We'll get there. I was just like, this is an interesting choice. This is an interesting choice. But I also want to talk about just the different dynamics of police culture in England versus America. Like, because he had a gun, and, you know, that's how he's able to even wrangle Jaden into the car and into the trunk.
Right.
And the vomiting in the pillow, which is gross, and all that kind of stuff. But when he finally gets captured or, you know, found out by the police, and he goes out into the field, I was like, oh, they can't even approach them because they don't carry guns. Like, they have to call backup, and backup comes with the guns. I don't know, just like, as an American, you know, that you forget because, well, I mean, you guys read the news. So, I'm like, right. Going to tell you how America is with guns. But it just, like, what were your reactions to that? Like, oh, yeah, they actually have to take that time.
I was trying to understand, is this situation was being handled like that because it was in a show or because that's just how the police are in the UK. It was very slow, very calm, very understanding too. They gave him his distance and space. And I get those type of situations. They
need to go.
Yeah, hostage. Yeah. They do work slow. But it just seemed like they kept the kids with the two boys with the bicycles. They were like, go home, but then didn't care if that they didn't go home. And mm-hmm. I'm like, there is a hostage situation with a man with a gun and you're just allowing these two mm-hmm. civilians to hang around. So I just I couldn't tell if it was really realistic.
Right. It was almost comical.
Yeah.
The way that they represented it. And I think that, you know, I'm not sure if it was realistic to the actual police force over there or whether it was just for, you know, narrative effect for the plot.
The Brits are coming after y'all.
I'm not sure if it was realistic, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. going along with that, it did tie into the narrative where they were trying to show that Smithereens, the company, actually could see further into, you know, surveillance-wise and, like, privacy policy-wise into Christopher's life.
Yeah.
And gain more insight over the government, over the law. And it almost made them look silly, but I think that was the point that they were trying to make in this episode, right? Is that these social media companies know more about people than... and perhaps maybe even have more power in that mm-hmm. sense than the government or than law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Erica?
Yeah, I agree. I think, I don't think I really noticed so much because I watched so many BBC shows, so mm-hmm. I don't think I was as shocked about that. Although I will say, I believe, and I guess check me in the chat if I'm wrong, wasn't Tracy Ullman playing the detective? I believe the actress, was playing one of the cops was an actress I've seen in actually comedies before, but I could be wrong.
Linda Grace. That wasn't Tracy.
Who was it?
It's, Monica Dolan.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, my bad, Monica. You look like her to me. So, yeah, it did seem like very lighthearted. And I think because I've actually watched a show, I'm on the panel for Killing Eve, and they had a similar theme where it's clear that the social media people have more power than, as you mentioned, the law enforcement. And I think that's true over there and over here.
Yeah, I think it's... like when they even use the app to be able to listen to his phone, that's pretty much a true thing about Facebook Messenger for a while. I'm not sure if it's still true, but people were having issues of they would have a phone conversation and then they would check their Facebook and there would be an ad for something that they talked about on the phone because Facebook Messenger would access your microphone and listen to what you were saying and then promote an ad to you. So they are listening to you and they are recording your facial movements, and I do Face ID too, even though it's bad and scary. you should be afraid of these people.
Big Brother is real.
Yeah. Big Brother is real and Big Brother is watching you. So it was nice to see that. And also just, you forget the amount of power these companies have. Like, I don't know any people that can be like, I'm just going to call the FBI.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, oh, you can just call the FBI and they will take you seriously?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I mean, they're supposed to do that. That is their job. But 9 times out of 10, they'll tell you to call local law enforcement and stay out of it. Yeah. Especially for that instance of where it was really a hostage situation in a local area that really had nothing to do with the larger scheme of Smithereens. That's where it seemed kind of unbelievable to me. That they were giving... no shade to Jaden. They were giving this intern a lot of power, and they cared a lot about this intern. I don't know if it was that they cared more about optics than they did the intern, because that was something else that kind of played into the episode of how you can tell a story through social media. Even the police being like, we can't shoot him. We already have that issue of the last time we shot somebody, and it turned out they were unarmed. So you just have to really be sure before we do anything. And so, I don't know, like, what was your guys' reaction to that? Of like, oh, this is also a story about how optics affect how we interact with people at this time, you know?
Well, I kind of thought, since they didn't make the young boys go home and they were there clearly like streaming it on their phones and stuff. Yeah, like if you shoot him, and to me, how would that look for Smithereens or any company where it's like, okay, you couldn't take a phone call and now someone in your company is murdered and you're just like, and then your executives are like, no, let them die. We don't want to let this person talk on the phone. So yeah, I definitely felt like realistically the you know, how that would look in the media and the fact that they have video of their streaming it, it would be crazy. Like, if they had shut down the cell service or something, maybe, you know, or if they had cut and there weren't people there standing there watching and taping. I think so many, as you mentioned, cop murders or, you know, the police or whatever, there's so many things that are filmed and that's how they go viral, because someone is standing there watching these, you know, watching the cops shoot somebody or watching something happen. So,
right. Yeah. And social media companies have, you know, had issues with this in recent years. And so I think that sort of public image is very important. Yeah. And we saw that come into play a little bit here, where they tried their best not to, you know, bring it all the way up to the top and actually get Billy Bauer on the phone and get the, what is it, the COO involved. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, they are going to protect their image. And, you know, it turns out it helped out, I guess, in terms of, like, Billy being very humanistic or, what is it, very likable or relatable, at
relatable,
least.
Relatable, yeah.
Yeah. And bringing that sort of new dimension to the story. But yeah, definitely PR. And then they had to have, what are they, bring in a whole team of negotiators and things like that as well.
Yeah,
that failed. Negotiator didn't work out so well.
Who just really thought he could just like do the classic negotiating
cliche
thing.
Yeah.
And Chris is like, I know what you're trying to do. I know you're just going to see if they're going to kill me. But someone else on the phone, if you don't, I will shoot him. I was like, I appreciate that. But, you know, there is a power to our phones. Like, even the other day, I saw a man yelling at a homeless woman. I think he almost hit her with a car, and so she responded, and then he proceeded to get irate and chase her around the block, come back down, and start yelling at her again. So I walked over, and I pulled out my phone, and I just, like, flipped it up, and I was like, I'm watching you. Like, so if you do anything to this woman, I mean, I'm going to have to intervene because I carry a taser. But outside of that, it will be recorded. Like, you know, so we do have that kind of power now where it's like, be on your best behavior. We're watching you. We are Big Brother. Oh, my God.
You have a taser?
That is true.
I do have a taser.
That's impressive.
I've had my own issue with an irate man taking things too far. So
I mean, living in Los Angeles, I feel like we all have in terms of driving and traffic at this point. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like the welcoming committee is like a man running out of his car yelling at you at this point.
Exactly. Happened to me on the 101. He stopped his car, almost caused a 5-car pileup.
So. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I got a taser.
I'm sorry, but I hope the taser's been working for you.
It's a nice, you scare people with it. You just whip it out, you go, click, click.
It is, and it is loud, and that, therefore, I think that's the most threatening part about it at this point.
And legal to carry in Los Angeles.
There
people
you
are
go.
Like, well,
wait, so the taser is legal, but the pepper spray is? I have pepper spray, and technically it's not really
legal. Sorry, we're going on a math tangent. Tasers and Bowie knives are illegal to carry in Los Angeles.
Interesting. Okay.
On your person. Okay. So if you have like a little belt loop, you can carry a nice big ass Crocodile Dundee knife or a taser.
Good to know.
Good to know. We will keep that away. We will lock that information.
Yes.
And in case the next scary traffic situation.
Yep. Be ready. Stay ready. All right. Let's go into Billy then, just because we're about to wrap up. So we're introduced finally to Billy at a silent retreat, just like a rich dude would be at, with his man bun and his like shirtlessness.
His linen clothing.
And I was like, and it's Topher Grace.
Yeah.
Known for That 70s Show and Spider-Man 3. That's what you're known for. And When a Date with Tad Hamilton. These are the things you're known for.
It's true.
There's nothing wrong with them. They're great, except for Spider-Man 3. I felt I knew what they were kind of trying to do. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense that it's Topher, because it is this kind of, like, adult nerd. Like, when you think about Mark Zuckerberg, you think about just, like, that dorky kid in high school that people shoved his books out of his hands, but now he has power and money. So you would think people wouldn't want to shove his books out of his hands, but we all still kind of do.
Yeah. I think when we were introduced to Billy Bauer, we first saw that image of him with his man bun and everything, I was like, oh, okay. So I was really engaged in the show, thinking it was serious. And then you showed me Topher Grace as Billy Bauer. But I still liked it, and I ended up really liking Billy Bauer's character and how he handled the situation.
Which is, you mean poorly?
Well, no, I actually admire the fact that he really did want to talk to Chris instead of just...
I did appreciate that.
I appreciated that. But I just thought, couldn't they just put any man on the phone? I mean, how would Chris really know? He doesn't know Billy Bauer's voice. Couldn't they just put any man on the phone and say it was Billy Bauer?
That's true.
And so I just thought, it got resolved so quickly, and he just really wanted to talk to Billy, and that was that. I just didn't... I don't know. There was nothing specific to Billy Bauer that showed me that it was Billy Bauer.
You can't ruin the story, okay? The point was, we needed to see Billy.
The payoff is that we, yeah.
Yeah, they could have seen, they could have done that, I'm sure, but we needed to see Billy in order to be like, okay, they're just humans too. Yeah. And he, you know, kind of just how I mentioned earlier, is he's got this little project that he had, and it grew sort of out of his control, and he doesn't know what to do with it, and it humanized it in that perspective. But I do know what you're saying. Yeah. It's like they could have had a workaround other than bugging their CEO.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like, okay, like it's a 3-minute phone call. You could bug the person in lieu of someone losing their life.
That's true.
And I did sort of, I mean, I guess I kind of bought into it with the whole, okay, I like it because I can just play God. And I do feel like executives, if, you know, Chris was like, I don't believe you, he could have been like, okay, well, I know for a fact that, you know, your underwear is blue or something, and probably actually have known that. So, you know, so that's kind of where I thought he was kind of going to go with it if it came to it. But I do see your point. I thought it was light. I thought it was interesting that I really liked the point where he was like, okay, I'm not going to read the talking points or whatever, and kind of like just kind of got real. And then they both kind of conversed. And I think I really liked the point where, you know, Billy, as he would try to take over the conversation. It's all about me. And then Chris is like, well, no, I don't really care. I just want you to hear what I have to say before I go. So I kind of like that sort of somewhat real engagement.
Yeah, because that's what it is. I think it was like, I just want somebody to listen. Like, for once, get off your phone. You know, don't text me. Don't do this. Just hear what I have to say. Right. I'm going to tell you this thing. I don't feel like I can tell anyone else. I'm not saying it because I want you to understand. I just, before I go, I need somebody to know. And I want you to know that your dumbass piece of shit social media construct machine has destroyed me. I don't have any ill will towards social media, obviously.
Never.
Ever. But it was nice to see that. And then it was also nice to see it follow through with how we do just kind of get over stuff way too fast. Like, there is no... It's hard to solve the world's problems when, one, you're bombarded with all the problems to begin with, nonstop, repeatedly, and to the point that you get kind of just numb to it. You know, like, it's hard to... I think that we've gotten to a point as a society, especially in America, where we've become so numb to, like, school shootings that it's easy to just scroll past it. Oh, there's another one. Oh, I think there was one yesterday. It was like 20 people or something like that. And it becomes such a part of it because you're constantly being bombarded with it. And it's a part of your life to just constantly see the news that you don't think anything about it anymore. So when everyone kind of just goes back to their life and even Billy just goes back to meditating, I was like, that's harsh. That's cold. That's true.
I think that really punctuated the end of the episode very well, was sort of just like, okay, I guess everyone just moves on, and there definitely is that aspect of the desensitization within our media now, and the sort of ultra-violence that we see. So definitely understand that one.
Very true. Although the one, I guess the one part that really touched me that I really liked was when Billy was like, okay, you know, can I do anything for you? And he's like, well, do you know, you've got to know the guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, yes. I know Curtis. Oh, yes. Persona, I got you.
So and
I
was just like, for it to end on the gunshot. Yeah. I was like, oh, she finally got to at least see, like, why. She at least wants to kind of figure out why.
Yeah.
And that was really wonderful to see.
So that was really nice. I really like that part.
But let's go quickly as we can. Sorry for running behind you guys. This is first. Into special segments. Do we have any news today?
Okay. We can do my special segment.
Well, in the meantime, Renji from chat says, shows like this make me want to take a tech-free vacation.
Oh, I know, right?
And it's like a thing. I think there's a word for it now when you, like, take a break from social media. Darn, I've been seeing people hashtag it.
If
now I can't
think
of it.
People in the chat want to talk about it, definitely.
Off the grid?
No. It's like one word that people have been... like. It's like staycation, but for off social media.
Okay, oh, man, it's going to kill me. Yes, I am. So, okay. So this picture, basically... all right. So this is sort of technology or social media gone wrong in the real world. So the gentleman on the top, I believe his name is Thomas, he basically met this young girl on Facebook named Jessie. She's young. They developed this relationship that's, you know, within the app, as we all do, because you can't get those mm-hmm. people out the app. And so he starts to like fall in love with her, and he's in New York and she's in West Virginia. So he becomes so obsessed with her, even though he's never met her, that he starts to tell his coworkers and everything about her. And he decides he's going to leave his wife. I believe his wife's name was Mary for her. And but Mary finds out about Jesse and sends her a letter that says, like, I'm married. And so Jesse doesn't know who to believe. So using social media, she finds the young guy, Brian, who is one of Thomas's coworkers. And then they hook up, or they start talking, and they start like trolling the older guy who was pretending to be a young 22-year-old Marine, and they call him a predator and all this other stuff. And she basically flirts with both, and the older guy goes, like, obviously becomes obsessed and murders his coworker.
Oh my gosh.
Over this fantasy. And so then, you know, of course, he gets taken to jail. And what kind of made it Black Mirror like is then when they go down to the, you know, young girl in Virginia, she turns out to be an older 43-year-old woman who was using the profile of her daughter Jessie.
Wow,
what a twist.
Darkness.
Darkness
in the world.
So much darkness.
It's not just a Black Mirror, you guys. You think that's exaggerated? Yes.
That's the whole point of Black Mirror.
Exactly.
All right, so do we have any news for this episode?
It kind of combines with both the news. Well, kind of the news pretty much combines with both this episode and the next one. But it was just saying that this season 5 of Black Mirror, has been debuted at Netflix's franchise's worst reviews in Black Mirror history. Yeah. It has the least views in Black Mirror history. And especially the Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2 has been getting pretty much terrible. The critics do not like it one bit. And I thought it was going to be because of Miley Cyrus, but it's actually because they felt that it was criticized for going wildly off the rails without bringing any depth. And that's what was kind of the consensus for this whole season. Mm. So people are really upset and asking, many fans are asking for a do-over.
Well, I'm so sick. Everyone, stop with the
do-overs.
Yeah. Stop with the fucking do-overs, okay?
Just
get the fuck
art.
Over it. Like, people can have problems. Jeez Louise. It's also summertime. It's June 5th, so it's not your favorite Black Mirror, okay? Wait till Christmas time when they come out with another one. On that note, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Black Mirror After Show
thank
on AfterBuzz
you.
TV. We will be right here in literally 5 seconds with Rachel, Jack, and Ashley, too. So stay tuned. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Adrienne Snow. Where can they follow you guys?
I'm Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A-D as in door, Edwards.
And I'm Angelica Trey. You can find me on most social media at A-Trey, A-Y-Y-T-R-A-E, and Instagram at Angelica Trey.
And I am Paris Rose. You can find me on Instagram at Paris Rose, Paris with two R's.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. And we'll literally see you in like 2 seconds.
Ciao for now, folks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.